Dr. Letitia Matara, thank you very much indeed for talking to the IFM Manufacturing Thursdays podcast series today. You've just talked about open innovation and the concept of open innovation, or what you call OI. Why is open innovation an important concept in today's companies?
Well, it's a new way of doing innovation. It allows the company to open up its boundaries and accept innovation that comes from the external world. Not just that, but also to make available whatever is within the company to the external world, so that others could increase their chances of innovating. So it's much more florid ground for innovation. You should get things done better, faster, more successfully. So it's a good model that could improve the chances of innovating.
I've heard other people say they want to ban the word innovation, but is it new as a concept, open innovation?
The exact two words are relatively recent. In 2003, Professor Henry Chesbrough from Berkeley University published a book where he described this model as you listen to it today. It's true that if you go back in the history of the literature, you can find examples even from the 1960s where it was recognized that ideas coming from outside could actually be very important or even dynamite. I think I recall one of the articles. Perhaps times weren't mature yet, and with 2003, I think these two words, open and innovation, get together quite often. You can hear them often. It's really picking up, and companies are realizing the potential of this new model.
And particularly in this so-called globalized world, we're sitting in Cambridge, which scientifically is driving a lot of the innovation. But the big companies very much want to partner the so-called SMEs, the small companies, don't they? Are these relationships difficult?
Oh, certainly. Relationship with other organizations are always difficult, and in particular when you add to this recipe the fact that large companies deal with very small companies with a complete different set of needs, ambitions and expectations, relationship can be a bit bumpy. Nevertheless, the combination of the innovation and technologies of the two could be really the recipe for exceptional success. So despite the difficulties, in theory, this is a very good idea.
And indeed, listening to your presentation on implementing open innovations, lessons from multinational companies, you did actually point out what some of those problems are and indeed some of the solutions. Let's go through the problems first.
When we asked a sample of companies, large multinational companies from a varied group of sectors, what were the problems in becoming open? The first one certainly is the management of the IP between the two parties, and that's negotiating and finding a way to deal with that is still a big problem. Other two problems that we actually explored a bit in detail are regarding the culture, so how changing the way you innovate impacts on culture. Is it this change is going to be welcome or resisted by the company itself? And another problem is, are we equipped with the right set of skills to become open? Do we need to acquire a new one, or we have the full set already available? And we have been exploring these two last problems in a bit more detail.
And you also talked about organisational subcultures, didn't you? Structures, skills, incentives, controls. There's a lot of concepts within that on, you might say, the road to success. A lot of knowledge you need.
Well, there are changing culture is perhaps one of the most difficult things to do. And if we go back to literature, it says it's very difficult to plan change. But one thing can be done, and is to change the very superficial aspects of the culture that is embodied in the structure, the organizational structures, the capabilities of what people can do, the incentives to behave one way or another, and the way to control, that are perhaps what we can do in order to incentivize a transaction between one way of doing things and another. Doesn't necessarily mean that this is going to yield success, but perhaps it's the steps that anybody can take trying to plan a change.
And that's what I meant about the knowledge of the road to OI, because you said that can't be created overnight. You can't just say we're going to be an OI company.
No, especially large companies are normally so full of people and perspectives, and it's very difficult to consider them as a monoblock. There are going to be people inside who are really perhaps happy of the new idea, others will resist it, and reactions can be hard to die. I mean, if somebody is resistant to change, that can mean long-term struggle and adaptation. Yes, certainly. It's not an overnight thing.
And does some kind of team spirit help in implementing OI?
I'm not sure about the team spirit, but we observed that those companies in which open innovation was decided from the top as the way to go, organized themselves with a group of people, an open innovation implementation team, who was tasked to roll out this new way of doing things. And they were incredibly important in all what happened. They were really the center of all this organization, and they could act upon supporting different type of subcultures in a different way. And be the center. So they were a team. Sometimes we were one person, sometimes we were more than one. But that was, I think, what we observed.
So larger companies, they can in fact create the cultures in which open innovation thrives. And you can identify groups, perhaps subcultures, ways of really weaving this into the organizational structure.
Yes. It seemed that because of how big they are and how differently they work, within the large companies there are people who, for example, the long people who look at long-term innovation, the blue sky people, who said, well, actually being open is not too new to us. We can understand it, and it won't change our life too much. In other sectors, in other functions, within the company, that might be a bit more of a problem to do, especially if originally the organization was telling them the good things is to keep for yourself, just rely on your own resources, we have to be secretive. So the implementation team helped them in different ways and try to leverage what the internal preferences and needs of these different groups of people were in order to incentivize them to be more open.
One of the interesting things about your presentation today was we're talking about lessons from multinational companies, but actually the possible partners are adapting and growing. You showed the slide of websites and how people can access or perhaps open doors to get into the companies. Does that perhaps make innovation harder because people just don't know who they're supposed to be dealing with, who their partners are, which SMEs, when is a good opportunity, when they should grasp it?
Yeah, I think the portfolio of who can be your partner is vast, immense, and you can generalize saying that there are partners that are universities and they have all their peculiar characteristics, and dealing with them requires certain skills. Other, like we said before, small and medium enterprises or inventors or startups have other characteristics. And actually quite interesting, because perhaps in recent times companies have realized the value that potentially users could input in the innovation process, and so they are enabling users to interact more with the company and support innovation inside large companies.
If we're using users, and as I say, everybody now is a potential partner and user interaction through the web and globally through the web, do you think that the study of open innovation is going to become more important? Because even though you say it goes back to the 60s, that's still a relatively new science or discipline, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think the seeds were recognized earlier on, but really people have started their efforts recently after Harry Chesbrough's book. So certainly there is a long way to go to understand how this can work and also the results of it. For example, how much to be open, is it the right things for us, what is the level of openness we want to have, how can we measure the success? All these are questions, and even the IP problem is still very hot.
And I suppose your presentation tonight, Implementing Open Innovation, OI, Lessons from Multinational Companies, just gives people a few rules or a little bit of background knowledge in which they can set the creative culture thinking.
Yes, it's not a prescriptive study. It's just a few ideas on how to start, really, and what to consider, a few perhaps interesting points that emerged from experiences of those who started earlier on and could lead the way. I don't think there is yet a definite answer.
Well, Dr. Letitia Mottari, thank you very much indeed for talking to the IFM Manufacturing Thursdays podcast series today. I've learned an awful lot.
Thank you very much. Thank you for this interview.